Those are gracious words, undeserved, but I certainly enjoy listening to them. And I want to thank you all for your wonderful spirit, your quiet attention. It's been a delightful experience for me. Now tonight, I want to talk to you for just these few minutes, and I'm sure I've talked too long sometimes, and I thought about that little boy in Baton Rouge when I was pastor down there one hot summer. Along the 1st of July, I told the people if they'd come to church at night, I wouldn't preach but 18 minutes. And they came fine. And I thought everything was going good until one day on the street I met a little boy about 9, 10 years old, stopped right in front of me and sort of squinted up at me, and he said, "Doc, you went overtime last Sunday night." And I said, "No, I didn't." He said, "Yes, you did. I had my watch right on you." I said, "How much did I go over?" He said, "A minute and a half." I said, "Well, I'm sorry. I guess there isn't anything I can do about it." He said, "Oh, yes, there is. You take it off next Sunday night." Well, it's so hard for me to take it off because you all are such a good audience. I want to talk to you a few minutes this last night on three advocates. We need three advocates. Now, the Bible tells us about two. Look at those two first, and then at the third one, which I'm going to have a hard time expressing, but I know the need of it. Here's the first one. It's in the first chapter of the first general epistle of John. It reads, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." We need an advocate with the Father. I believe that Dr. Massey, that grand old famous preacher of Georgia, said it in the best way I ever heard. He said, "I had the sweetest mother in Georgia." He said, "But she was very strict about just one thing. She wouldn't let us boys play on her snow white feather beds. She prided herself on having the deepest and the most beautiful feather beds in Georgia." He said, "And I'd look at them deep as they were, and I would think how wonderful it would be to get up on the top of that bedstead and dive right out in the air and come down on that feather bed, and here it goes, swoosh." He said, "But Mother said, 'No, if you do, I'll punish you just as sure as you do it.'" Said one day it was raining, and Mother and I were under the woodshed. She was washing clothes, and I was making mud pies. And my big 6-foot brother was riding out over the farm to see if the drain ditches were open. He said, "I got tired of making mud pies, and I went over to the house to find something else to do." He said, "The hall went right down the middle of the house, and there were two bedrooms on each side of it. The doors were standing open. And he said, as I walked by those snow-white feather beds, they just beckoned to me. And he said, and I was up on the top of one of the bedsteads before I realized it. He said, I jumped just as high as I could jump and flattened out, and that thing said swoosh when I went down. He said, I got up again and I dived out this time. He said, I was having the time of my life when I heard a footstep in the hall. And Mother stood by the door with her right hand ominously behind her. He said, just then the window went up on the other side of the room, and that big 6-foot brother of mine came through. He said, Mother, just a minute, Mother, wait just a minute, please. He said he covered me up with that great big body of his, and he looked up at Mother and said, all right, Mother, go ahead, lay it on, I'll take it for him this time. He said, I didn't hear the switch fall. I peeped out under his shoulder to see why. He said, Mother's lip was trembling a little. He said, it was sort of starry-eyed. She wasn't looking at me, she was looking at him. She said to him, you great big lovable rascal, pick him up, take him out the window. If you come this way, I'll switch you both. And then Dr. Massey, he got very serious, and he said, and of this, I'm heartbroken. He said, one day I went where my heavenly Father told me not to go, and I bowed my head for the stroke of the rod. And he said, it seemed maybe it was a vision, maybe I was just thinking, but it seemed I felt my master's arm around me and I heard him say, I'll take it for him, Father. I'll take it for him. And then Dr. Massey said, we have an advocate with the Father. Now the word advocate, if you look it up, in your dictionary, you'll find a group of the most beautiful synonyms that are behind any word in Webster's dictionary. Behind advocate, defender, protector, helper, counselor, comforter, guide, advocate. We have an advocate with the Father. Now then let me read you another verse. And before I pass on this, in this particular Bible, which is a student Bible, there is written out in the margin of it, right by the side of advocate, the Greek word paraclete. Paraclete. Advocate. Turn back in your Bible, when you have time, to the 15th chapter, or the 14th chapter and the 15th too, of John's Gospel, and listen to this. Jesus is talking, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, you remember the word? Comforter. To give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Turn to the next paragraph. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and so forth. Now write out in the margin, by the side of the word comforter, you'll find two words, the Greek word paraclete, again. And right under it, or, it says advocate. So, we have an advocate with the Father. And we have an advocate here, as we walk through life down here. A guide, a counselor, a comforter, a protector, a defender. We have one who stands by. That's the meaning of paraclete, or advocate. One who stands by. So God's promises, not only do we have an advocate with our Father, which is in heaven, when we've done something that's wrong, but we have an advocate that'll help us over the rough places of the road down here. I will not leave you comforters. You'll have an advocate. I'll pray the Father. He'll send you a comforter, a paraclete, that will be with you always. Now let me illustrate it. Out in Paisana, the cowboy encampment started by Dr. Truett and Mr. Milligan, missionary, home missionary. When I knew Mr. Milligan, he was getting close to 80 years old, and he looked just like the pictures I've seen of Moses, white hair. One night when we'd finished the service at the Paisan encampment, some 6,000-8,000 people there, Mr. Milligan and I started over to our cabins. And I said, Mr. Milligan, up here where it's nearly 6,000 feet above sea level, the stars seem so bright and so close together. He reached out and stopped me and he said, Brother Roy, I was on a cattle drive with the cowboys, a bunch of cowboys, once. And he said, one night I couldn't sleep very well, and I heard the night guard or the night watch as he rode around the herd that was bedded down, and he was singing. And I marveled that he knew so many songs. And when he came in, I said to him, I enjoyed hearing you sing. The Lord gave you a good voice. I said, tell me why you sang. He said, I don't know, but it seems to quiet the cattle. They aren't restless. They know I'm out there. They know me. They've seen me. And somehow they rest so much easier if I sing. He said, most of us sing. And I said, well, you only repeated one song. And that was when his eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. He said, Doctor, would it be irreverent for me to say something I've thought of so oftentimes? He said, you remember the Bible says that the stars sing? Well, I have oftentimes thought of the stars as God's cowboy that he put out at night to watch over the human herd. He said, it seems to me, he was saying to us, don't be afraid of the dark or the night. I'm with you. I'll be with you always. Well, that's what I've just read to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another paraclete, another advocate. Now, just touch the last one and let you finish and fill it in with it. We need another paraclete. We need another advocate. And I have no scripture for it, except that you should grow in grace and knowledge and likeness of Jesus Christ. Or accept the verse in the Old Testament that reads, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard change his spots? And neither will a man that is accustomed to do evil do right. Now reverse it. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? Neither can a man who is accustomed to do evil do, who is accustomed to do right, do evil. Maybe it isn't quite as strong put that way. The thing I'm trying to say is that we should build up a stockpile of dedicated living as a reserve, so that when some temptation comes, we can say, I'm not like that. I don't do things like that. I'm a Christian. I think of Bobby Richardson, and I wish we could all do what he does. I was with him. We were speaking together once, and I heard him say to a crowd of young people, the first thing I do in the morning, I don't even get out of bed, I just slide down on my knees and recommit my life to Jesus Christ. Beloved, if we did that and recommitted our lives to Christ, Wouldn't it be another advocate? I won't call it a paraclete. I'd be irreverent, maybe. But wouldn't it be another advocate? Wouldn't it be a build up our reserve? And if we went to church and worked for God and prayed with Him and talked with Him and recommitted our lives to Him day, every day, wouldn't it be easier to be a Christian? It's an advocate we'll have to build for ourselves. God don't give us everything. He gives us these two. We need to build the other one. They would bow our heads and pray. Our Father, we thank Thee that we have an advocate with Thee, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank Thee Thou hast given us an advocate here to walk with us, to guide us over the unknown paths, to stand by us when we need someone. Help us to build another advocate. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night. God bless you, everyone.